Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins. Afternoons on the Score.
Addison Russell, two huge home runs in the NLCS out in Los Angeles.
Grand slam!
And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
Reports that Major League Baseball is investigating allegations of a domestic violence incident against your teammate Addison Russell, and I'm curious how you feel about it.
I don't really know what to say about it, but it's unfortunate.
We reached out immediately to Addison this morning and actually informed him that he was being placed on administrative leave.
You said on Friday you hadn't read Russell's ex-wife's blog post and description of what she said happened to her. Have you read it since then?
No, I really don't believe I need to. Addison hasn't written anything either. So, I mean, I'm going to wait till the process runs its course. Anybody can write anything they want these days with social media, blogging, etc.
Addison Russell has accepted a suspension from Major League Baseball of 40 games.
Clearly, we support Major League Baseball's finding and Addy's decision to accept the suspension. Domestic violence is everyone's problem.
I've been doing the league mandated treatment, and I am committed into my work, to this work. I want to own those actions. I am accountable for my past actions, but I do want to own this issue. I'm doing everything in my power to become a better person, I am sorry.
Okay, that was Addison Russell at Sloan Park.
Addison Russell is back from the minor leagues 1 week after his domestic violence suspension came to an end.
And he doesn't deserve to be met with an unconditionally warm welcome and with open arms.
Addison Russell!
He'd been struggling, you know, mentally. I think he had been kind of disengaged in some games and made some mental mistakes. And, you know, we can't have that.
I think that the likelihood of him being gone is very, very high.
Addison Russell has been non-tendered by the Chicago Cubs, which means Addison Russell is no longer a Chicago Cub.
And that's that.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
Neil and Parkin Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
That's how Tanny says goodbye to you, Goodfellas style.
The winds of change are blowing. Addison Russell, not going to be a Cub next year. We got the news late in the show yesterday. Today, the White Sox are adding Zach Wheeler to the mix. They're trading for Jock Peterson.
Those are the rumblings and rumors of the hot stove.
The Cubs are, what was Passan's description of the Cubs? Aggressively shopping?
Yeah, he talked to various executives. The four adjectives that various sources quoted the Cubs as being: aggressive, manic, motivated, and obvious in their desire to trade someone.
Yeah, a lot of people very motivated. Steve Carell in The Big Short at all the homeowners in Florida with sticks in their yards. Yeah, well, good luck.
Manic is not exactly how I want my front office to be described. Neither is obvious in terms of showing your hand to everyone else. I don't love that.
You know, I have to tell you that we heard the opening ceremonies moments ago with Addison Russell and the flashback to when Joe Maddon was on the Bernstein and McKnight show. And I heard that we're hearing it for a second time because we play the 5 o'clock earlier at 2:00. And just the Joe Maddon comment is so stomach turning.
It's brutal.
Hearing it again 18 months or whatever it is after the fact, it's hard to hear that.
Just the outward and proud rejection of knowledge.
Anybody can write anything on a blog. Whoa. Really?
Yeah. I mean, he messed it up.
This
his front office
of
knows
his
that he messed
son,
it up.
And you really shouldn't speak like that.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Goodness.
It was a low point of Joe Maddon's time as manager of the Cubs, right? Because he was so good at the PR side of it, the media side of it. He was so good at it. And that was so bad. And then he doubled down and he did it again.
Yeah, he did it again at the news conference on the South Side.
He just had a blind spot for it. And that's obviously not an excuse. We all have him on various issues, but he had a blind spot for why that was so unbelievably tone deaf.
I'm glad for the Cubs. I'm proud of the way they – not proud. I think it's a model of doing business, the way they handled Addison Russell. I think they should be applauded. Well, I shouldn't say that. You don't have to applaud them, listeners, if you don't want to. I applauded them for the way they tried to rehabilitate the man and not give up on him. And I would hope on his way out the door he recognizes – that and shows some gratitude for getting another opportunity.
Yeah, like so I haven't read it yet, but I just saw Steve Greenberg and the headline of his column at the Sun-Times, "Good riddance to Addison Russell, without whom the Cubs are instantly less offensive." Like, this was a debated thing, right? There were plenty of people, media, fans, people within the sport of baseball, Theo said people within the Cubs organization that either advocated for or would have DFA'd him immediately, right? Theo weighed all the options. He tendered him a contract. He wanted to use it as a learning experience to overhaul the Cubs' organizational support system and infrastructure for domestic violence.
Very forward-thinking.
Yeah, I agree with you. The Cubs non-tendered Addison Russell because he's not good enough at baseball to justify a salary of over $5 million.
Doesn't fit in their plans.
They did not do it because of his domestic violence past, because they gave him a contract after the domestic violence allegations this time last year. So when people say, like, oh, the only reason he fell out of favor with the Cubs was because he had an OPS below 700 last year, like, yes, they're not denying that. Like, the open of Theo Epstein's statement that he released, and by the way, it's not normal for a president of baseball operations to release a five-paragraph statement when you non-tender a player. We decided to non-tender Addison Russell today simply because the role we expected him to play for the 2020 Cubs was inconsistent with how he would have been treated in the salary arbitration process.
Yep.
Those are the first words of it.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling you this is a baseball decision. And then he talks about how we will continue to support Melissa Reedy, and we have overhauled the domestic violence program, and Addison Russell checked those boxes for us, and we wish him the best on his path to being a better person, teammate, father, and partner. So he includes all of that in it, but he is not hiding from the fact that Addison Russell is a former Cub because of baseball and not anything else. Now, if you criticized that at the time and you disagreed with that, totally fair and within bounds. Reasonable minds can disagree, but the Cubs are moving on because of baseball, and I just think that's important to note. They're not taking some moral stand here on Addison Russell.
Also, moving along today, the Carolina Panthers, after 9 years, firing head coach Ron Rivera, 3 NFC South Division titles in his tenure there, a playoff record of 3-4, an appearance in a Super Bowl where they came up short against the Denver Broncos. Mike Florio is linking him to the Giants. He writes, if Dave Gettleman wants to secure his job right now, that's the general manager of the Giants, he is putting a full court press on the ownership to hire Ron Rivera, because the word is Pat Shurmur's not going to survive after this, his second year. So Gettleman and Rivera, who have a history in Carolina, would make sense from Gettleman's standpoint. Say, hey, can we get Ron in here now? And then maybe he survives another year. Because what the word has been, they were going to do a full sweep.
The only reason that that one doesn't make as much sense to me is I do think that the smart way to go with young franchise quarterbacks is the offensive head coach, where that system will be in place for as long as that quarterback is there, if it works, as opposed to if you hire the young offensive coordinator and it works, you're always at risk of that offensive coordinator getting hired away. Now, if Ron Rivera went to the Giants with North Turner, who has no interest in being a head coach again and is going to be a career offensive coordinator, that's one thing. And then you've got to decide if North Turner is the best bet to develop your young quarterback. The one that makes the most sense to me is the Detroit Lions if they move on from Matt Patricia. Their defense is awful. Ron Rivera could maybe make that better. That organization could always use some stability and some competence.
Yeah, but I don't know. If you go from such a colossal flop who came from a defensive background, you sure you want to dip your toes right back in the defensive waters?
Well, but he was a flop. It seems like he's a flop because he's just not cut out to be a head coach. right? Like, they don't have talent defensively. So, I don't know. I just think that if you're Ron Rivera and you're coaching 31-year-old Cam Newton, that makes sense. He doesn't need a young offensive head coach to grow and develop with. If you're coaching Matt Stafford, that makes sense. I don't know that I would turn Dwayne Haskins' development over to the older defensive head coach. Like, I just I don't know that I would do that. Dallas makes some sense. Like, if Dallas wasn't so concerned with the splash hire. Dak Prescott's established. They've got Kellen Moore there.
You have an older staff developing Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, though. Those guys are not young. Greg Roman's been around a long, long time.
100%. That is true, and John Harbaugh is probably going to win Coach of the Year, and he is one of the five best coaches in the NFL. And he has totally tailored his system to his very unique quarterback. And I'm not – maybe Ron Rivera can do that. So I'm just saying, if it were me – I'd want to pair my young franchise quarterback with an offensive system that I wouldn't be worried about it changing in a couple of years because the offensive coordinator is going to get hired away if it goes so well. That'd be my concern.
If he gets hired away, that means he did a hell of a job and maybe you're in a great position and you've already taken a confetti shower or gotten damn close to it.
Maybe, but I mean, not.
The only way somebody wants to hire him is if he does a great job.
Happened with Matt LaFleur. That's not what happened with Cliff Kingsbury.
Well, that's true.
You know, like that's not the threshold anymore. Like, young offensive coordinators get head coaching jobs way easier than defensive coaches do.
Especially if he's had a coffee with Sean McVay.
Right, exactly. So I just...
Oh, you met Sean McVay? Have a seat.
This hour on The Score brought to you by Seattle Sutton. Your good health is their true mission. Let's hear from the owner of the Panthers on not only the decision, but I'd be interested in why now. Like, Ron Rivera didn't deserve to coach the last four games after being – he's tied with John Fox for winningest coach in Panthers history. Like, you couldn't get him one more win so he could have that record. It's kind of weird. Let's hear what – what's his name? Tepper? David Tepper. What did David Tepper have to say?
All right, Dave, well, obviously you made some coaching moves today. Let's start with Ron Rivera, and the obvious question to that is why?
Look, a very hard move. Ron Rivera, besides being a good coach, is one of the finest men I've ever met in my life. I'll just say that up front. Look, I came here 2 years ago. I wanted to show patience on the football side and see how it was going. You know, on the business side, we made vast and sweeping changes. And I didn't want to make those vast and sweeping changes on the football side. I'm going to take time and patience to see what could go. And how it could go. I just thought it was time, given the way things have gone the last two seasons, to put my stamp on this organization on the football side, as we've done on the business side of the organization. As much respect as I have for Ron, I think a change was appropriate to build things the way I want things to be built.
Why make the move now versus waiting through these final four games of the year?
Quite frankly, our season is not over, but as far as making the playoffs, this is I can make the change now, I can make it later. There's competitive reasons why I want to make sure that we were out there looking at all personnel possible for the future. I don't want to, in any way, shape, or form, didn't want to be having inquiries where Ron didn't know what I was doing. I don't want to be doing things not up front. It's just not who I am. So I'd rather be straight up and honest. If I'm going to make a change, I'm going to make a change. And not to get a competitive disadvantage over other teams. If I need to talk to people, I want to talk to them, and I want to do it in a straightforward, honest way.
What will you be looking for in a head coach in 2020?
What I want, and just for the organization in general, is a mesh of old and new. Old football discipline, modern processes, modern analytics, statistics, and the rest of that. But I respect old school discipline too. I mean, listen, I was with a team that was the epitome of in Pittsburgh with the epitome of old school discipline. So I want to see that brought in. I want to see that mesh. And what I want to have more than anything, and you can appreciate this because you've seen it on the business side, I want to put the best people in the best positions to be successful.
I have no problem with any of it. I honestly agree with you. That's my a buddy who's been fired. I've been friendly with Rivera for 31 freaking years, but it's a cutthroat business. And this new owner has not seen a playoff team in his 2 years. He has seen this team whimper to the finish line, limping again this year. They've been to the playoffs only once since 15. That's where the bar should be with professional sports franchises. What have you done for me lately?
I agree. That came across as very competent, in control, and frankly relatable, right? That's the way of the world. If you sign the checks, your bat, your ball game. Like, hey, I wanted to make changes. I wanted my guys to be in there.
Yeah, I don't want to hear people overhearing conversations in the hallways. He's interested in this guy. If I'm going to make a move, I'm going to make it now.
That's reasonable.
And if you want to run cool, you got to run on Perry Fuel, who's replaced Ron Rivera on an interim basis.
Okay, so you mentioned the heavy fuel. Okay. At this time tomorrow, we will be about a little less than halfway through what should be about a 45-minute trip down memory lane.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not telling Mac about any of the audio. It's not 45 minutes worth of audio.
I was going to say, under. I'll take the under on that one.
Really?
Okay. I hope it goes that. Yeah.
I hope it goes that long, too. Well, I want stories. I'm going to draw context out of them. We're going to replay some stuff. Because some stuff's 1 second. Some stuff is just a drop.
It's slippery over there.
I'm not saying any problem.
Oh, man.
You're setting yourself up for disappointment if you don't have that one. I better find it by tomorrow.
Oh, there's a bunch of them. I'm sure will tickle me.
Tanny, can you play the one that I said I wanted just as a teaser?
Oh, just a little appetizer.
We've already played this one for
like
you.
Like Hanukkah, you get first night, right?
Yeah. Well, so this has been played on this show, but people were so excited when it came back.
Okay.
Because this is Tanny found Score Vault audio that has not aired on this station in at least 10 years and probably more. And it will be in line, hopefully, with this all-time gem.
30 minutes away from their first NFC Central title in 11 years. Let's go to Bonnie.
All right. Well, Dick, Chicago's gotten their offense going. But, Dick, two Dicks. Wow. Defensively, you knew you had to get pressure on Mark Brunell. Three sacks, the interception. Have you rattled him?
Well, our defense has done a terrific job.
Two Dicks. Wow.
Two Dicks. Wow. Right.
That was gone for over a decade, and we found it.
Fantasy,
Two Dicks, wow.
Fantasy football teams named Two Dicks Wow from Seattle to Miami for all these years, and the audio was lost, stricken from the internet, but Tanny unearthed it.
We have Score audio, we have Bears audio, we have Cubs audio, we had a grab bag section, sorts of gems that if you're a Score head.
Do we have Wayne Larrabee talking about Bob Hayes in the ice bowl, the Cowboys receiver who hated playing in cold weather, stood on the sideline with his hands in his pants, caught only two balls all day.
No promises.
That's my favorite Wayne Larrabeeism.
No promises.
He also gave tone. Holy gosh, there's a holy gosh in there from Larrabee.
So 5 o'clock tomorrow, we begin going through the Score Vault, if you will. Old Scorehead audio for you. And on Thursday, come out and see us. We're at Tavern in the Green in Evergreen Park. It's Thursday, December 5th from 2 to 6 for the Miller Lite What's on Tap broadcast. Find out what's on tap for the Bears game. Enjoy Miller Lite specials and take home Score swag brought to you by Miller Lite. Hold true. And we're going right up to Bears pregame on the Score. So Pat Manley and Olin Krutz will be there. They're going to stop by in the 5 o'clock hour of our show.
Yeah, we'll see the guys and visit with them just like we did on opening night down in the lobby of the Prudential Building. I'd still call it the Prudential Building. I can't get my head around 1-2 Pru. How about you? Head around that?
Yeah, I'm able to get around it. But yeah, it's the Prudential Building.
Yeah, Prudential Building, right.
Yeah.
That's the address, 1-2 Pru, right?
Right, yes.
Yeah, most people think,
I come in normally on the Stetson side, 180 mm-hmm. North Stetson.
That's the best side, I find.
It is, but sometimes if you're not careful and you get a Uber to pick you up here, they're picking you up at the other door. And I'm at 1-2 Pru. I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot.
Hopefully the outcome Thursday will be better when we visit with those guys, unlike opening day, because that was a terrible outcome. I'm starting to waffle on picking the Bears.
Really?
Yes. You asked me yesterday, and I hadn't given it much thought, but my first blush reaction was, yeah, I just saw the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, and they didn't defend the run well. Oh, but the Bears don't like to run the ball. Bears don't like to run the ball. So I don't know. I'm not sure I'm going to pick the Bears in this one.
Stay tuned. That's a tease. Ooh. No, but also coming up, I heard some Bears audio today that I wanted to run by you because I don't really get what they're trying to sell. We'll get into it coming up on the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Floyd is not a bag of rocks.
Ah, the bag of rocks, this hour on
the
Score.
It's a box of rocks. It's a bag of snakes. Everybody knows that.
Come on, get it right, Gruden. This hour brought to you by BetIndianaNews.com. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Hoops. Northwestern basketball has third-ranked Michigan State at the new Welsh Ryan Arena December 18th. Tip-off set for 7 p.m. Tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team on sale now at NUSports.com. So, Leonard Floyd, I know you've been talking about Khalil Mack not playing up to his performance, and a lot of the conversation on defense has been about Trevathan and Hicks's injury, understandably so, how deep they are on the defensive line. We hear about that all year. I feel like Leonard Floyd has gone completely under-discussed in terms of blame and accountability for not stepping up. Finally, there's no more excuse, right? He's healthy, or he had been. Now this past week they say he hasn't been healthy. But this is a former first-round pick who they picked up his fifth-year option for. He's going to go from a $2 million base salary this year to a $13 million base salary next year. And in 10 of 12 games, he's been sackless. He has three sacks on the year. He got two in one game, one in another.
I love the way you say sackless.
Sackless. And he doesn't even have a tackle for loss outside of his sacks.
He's underwhelmed. There's no question about that.
He's been horrible.
He plays in coverage, too, a lot.
I know. And he's been okay against the run at setting the edge. He's been okay at that.
He's been all right at that. Yeah, he's just been a guy. He's not played like a first-round pick. He's been okay at best.
This is John, what impressed you about Leonard's sack?
That's right, his singular sack.
His sacklessness.
Sacklessness. I mean, would you say he's had a good season?
No.
Would anyone here be willing to say that?
That's what I've been asking. Which members of the defense actually have been better this year than last? And I can't give you a name. I can't give you one name.
Because Roquan has probably had higher ceiling games this year, but obviously his whole body of work last year was better.
Roquan Smith Thursday was that incredible. Was as well as he's played this year, but there were two games he missed, and there was the not looking like himself once he did return. He had a real rough start to the year, but I'm glad that he's got it back together seemingly, and he's playing like a first round pick who was one of the most, in fact, if it weren't for Darius Leonard last year, he would have gotten more accolades than he got. He might have been the defensive rookie of the year.
And so this thing with Leonard Floyd is just interesting to me because, you know, I'm not a huge fan of what these football people are saying, but this was praise that I hadn't heard before, including a new award that I hadn't really heard much about.
An award?
That the Bears have. Listen to what Matt Nagy and Leonard Floyd said about, Matt Nagy and Chuck Pagano said about Leonard Floyd coming out of the game against Detroit.
I really like where he's at. Again, for me, I love production. I love numbers. I love all That's the fantasy good. Stuff. But, you know, he's somebody, by the way, that won our sweep the sheds for this week. And, I think for him, it speaks volumes too. He was hurting pretty good, at a point where we felt like he gutted through it. You know, in this game, it's a physical game, and whether it's mentally, physically, exhaustion, there's times where you get tired, and we just appreciate the little things, and that was a little thing in this past game on a short week, and he's done a lot of great things, and I'm proud of him for it.
He's consistent, you know, and he brings it every single, every single play, and the Sweep the Sheds Award is, you know, not just based on, you know, that last game or that last week, you know, it's about, you know, coming to work and being selfless and being humble and doing the little things, doing the dirty work, if you will, day in and day out, not expecting, you know, anything in return. You know, for that, and we've got a bunch of guys in the room that are like that. You know, he got crap kicked out of him on a play or two, and you know, our trainers came up and said he's probably not going to come back. You know, because he got some type of rib injury or whatever it was, and you know, they took him in for some X-rays, I guess, and you know, so he came back out, and there, you know, he said there'd have to be bone showing, you know, for him to come out of the game. So. If there's ever a Sweep the Sheds guy, that's the guy, you know. So, you know, there's a lot of guys that wouldn't suck it up and keep going, but Leonard's not that guy. He's going to be there for his, you know, for his teammates. So, congratulations to him. It's well deserved, and you know, he doesn't say a lot. You know, he just, you know, he's a lunch pail and a hard hat guy. He just comes to work every single day and gives everything that he has.
Everything's rosy up in Lake Forest, isn't it?
Listen, it's all well and good if he's playing hurt in that game and that if you have a Sweep the Sheds Award and he comes to play and injuries have been a problem for him and he's played every game this year. All of that is commendable. And he plays hard, great.
If there's ever a Sweep the Sheds guy, that's the guy.
You're a top 10 pick opposite Khalil Mack in your fourth year. They picked up your fifth year option. When Nagy's like, I like production. I you know, I'm all for these fantasy sets. Yeah, me too. How about a tackle behind the line of scrimmage one time?
That would be nice. Cool. I love Peoria Matt, who checks in asking the question if he's going to use that for contract negotiations. Hey, I won Sweep the Sheds week 13.
If there's ever a Sweep the Sheds guy, that's the guy.
Enlighten me and our audience on Sweep the Sheds.
What is it? I think it's the grit, hardworking. You do everything. You're even willing to, you know, sweep the locker room.
And this is
the game.
A Bears tradition under Nagy. This is not a long-standing Bears tradition.
It's not long-standing.
Did Chuck bring this in? Is this what we got from Chucky?
I have no idea. I don't know the history of it. I'm sure
it's the first time hearing of it. Is Leonard Floyd in week 13? Did they not have a winner in the previous 12 weeks? Is it a weekly award? Monthly? Well, when did
Pagano
they
said it's not just a weekly thing? I don't know.
Is it one of those awards that coaches only hand out after wins? Like, I know in high school football, back in the Uncle Rico days, we'd only get an offensive and defensive player of the week award from the touchdown club if you won. No skulls were handed out if there was a loss.
I just would like some sort of production.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, come on, guys. Like, this is not this isn't Nick Kwiatkowski, where a bunch of texters when Max said no defensive player is better this year than last year, and everyone's like, Kwiatkowski's been better. No, Kwiatkowski's just playing, and he's been fine, and he's serviceable, and he's stepping in for Trevathan nicely.
That might be that's a decent answer.
It's a fine
and
answer.
Kyle Fuller has played well again this year.
He's been very
a couple
good.
People have pointed that out. I said better, playing better.
Yeah, Fuller's been very consistent, but just...
Although the Bears coaches last week told you Khalil Mack's playing better, too.
Leonard Floyd has to be held to a high standard, and sweeping sheds and playing through injury is not a very high standard. It's just not.
Yeah.
Like, it's come on. And especially opposite Khalil Mack. Like, how has his production gone down since Mack has gotten here? How is that
possible?
That's
the reason why Roquan Smith was able to get a couple of sacks. The Lions were blocking Khalil Mack with eight people on Thursday. Freed up 58. All the attention 52 got.
He is one of the most double-teamed players in the NFL. I know you dismiss this, but they keep track of these stats.
Great pass rushers have been among the most double-teamed.
Mac, I didn't want to...
Why not? So he's a great pass rusher.
I didn't want to disrupt you on your Thanksgiving, but during the game, I thought of you during the... I don't know if you know the play I'm talking about, but in the broadcast, Troy Aikman, or was it Aikman on the call, talking about, Khalil Mack, he gets double-teamed, triple-teamed. And the next play they show, it just was an unfortunate moment.
Just 71,
Aikman.
Right?
Yes.
Only 71. He's the only guy blocking him.
The
very next
play, they isolate the camera on Matt, and he gets buried.
Yep.
Just absolutely put on roller skates and then driven into the ground. And I'm like, he hasn't been having a bad game, but of all the times to mention it, it just was, I thought of you. I didn't want to interrupt any Thanksgiving festivities, but I thought of you during that
well,
play.
Well, feel free to shoot me a text if you're ever thinking the way I think, Nick.
Like that affirmation, that confirmation?
Absolutely.
Texters are saying, a couple of them, remember when they were talking about that the book that everybody read that Nagy had Trubisky read, the book about the All Blacks, that team from, it was a rugby team.
New Zealand.
What was that?
New Zealand rugby team.
Yeah, the rugby team.
I think
from
that's something we got to keep in-house.
Yeah, right. But that's what it was. Okay, thank you. I remember reading some profile in training camp about that. That's
no
right.
Public book reports. Keep it in-house. That's something we can't talk about.
We shared it, and then we want to keep it in-house.
Yeah, a few texts that, are saying, from. What's next in Lake Forest? A time clock?
Oh,
sweeping the sheds in time clocks.
Seen that movie?
Jim Boylan, this guy. Yeah, they're putting stickers on helmets now. It's just sad, man. Like, that's a guy who no one talks about or criticizes, and he's got the pedigree of someone who's supposed to be great. And he's been okay.
Yeah.
And the things that, and you find yourself being like, he's played every game. He sets the edge well. He's solid against the run for a D end in a 3-4. Like, they're not the things that you pay big money for. They're not the things you drafted him for. You drafted that guy to have 20 quarterback hits in a season with 14 sacks.
He always tips 20%.
Yeah, right. A high character guy sweeps the sheds. No eye in team for Leonard Floyd.
That's
he picks
same
up the tab.
Thing you're paying Khalil Mack $140 million to do what you just said.
Yeah, but Khalil Mack draws more attention than Leonard Floyd and has tripled him in terms of quarterback hits, pressures, forced fumbles, sacks.
He didn't hit David Blau Thursday. He dropped back to pass 39 times. He didn't hit him.
Yes.
Not once.
All I'm saying is proportionally here, Leonard Floyd is getting no criticism whatsoever.
He did not escape your wrath today.
It's
in
not
the
even
5
wrath.
O'clock hour. It's wrath.
It's just... They're bending over backwards to compliment a guy who has made no impact.
That's what this staff does. That's what every staff in town does. Meanwhile, you got an owner of the Carolina Panthers today saying, I got higher standards. I've been here 2 years, and we're not a playoff team, and I don't like the way this is going. I'm going to make the move now. And it's my friend who got shown the door, but I wish our teams locally comported themselves with that same high standard and held their guys to the same credo, same maxim. Live up to something higher than what you're at. 6-6 team, and they're doing nothing but throwing bouquets at their feet.
This segment brought to you by Subway. Subway restaurants feature a different 6-inch sub for $3.79 every day. Subway, make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied. Bears All Access at 6, so we'll put a bow on this thing, including a little question I polled the audience with on social media. The response surprised me. We could be in the midst of watching an all-time career begin to take shape. We'll get into it coming up on The Score.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, unquote.
Thank you, Sports Pope. Friday, last full day for Mike Francesa at WFAN, by the way.
Can't wait to hear his hot takes on the upcoming election.
Yes, we have news on the new app and what he's going to be doing at radio.com.
I'll probably miss that.
That does not surprise me in the least. Let's hear. So Francesa's got his plans for post-retirement.
Now, Mike, are you going to be mixed that up a little bit? Are you going to be doing like sports and another thing?
No, I do. If I'm on the fan, I'll do sports. If I'm on radio.com, I intend on doing a thing every day on radio.com on the decision 2020. And I really believe there's an enormous void where there's nowhere where you get commentary that's right down the middle. And what I want to do is, and I'm telling you right now, I will be fair to when it's pro-Trump, I'll be pro-Trump. When it's anti-Trump, I'll be anti-Trump. I'll be right down the middle in every way because I think it's important that someone is somewhere giving commentary that's fair. That is right down the middle. I'm going to obviously do sports every day, but I'm also going to do something for the year of the presidential campaign. From the primaries right through, it's a lot of stuff. It's going to be fun, and I always wanted to do it, and I'll do something on that every day, too. Monday to Friday, I'll do something every day, like a half hour a day, and it'll be separate, and it'll be on radio.com. And radio.com, folks, you just go and download it. It's radio.com. If you haven't seen it, go check it out, because you can get everything you want on radio.com, from podcasts to different programs to all different radio shows around the country. And I will be there exclusively starting in January.
Commentary that's right down the middle is kind of an oxymoron, because commentary has opinion. And right down the middle is supposed to be unbiased.
The last 3 years, I think most so-called rules have been thrown completely out the window.
I don't know if I like that line, but there is a little truth to it.
So good luck to that.
Well, he's opening up the policy. Is he going to do Sal from Sea Caucus his night out on the town as well? Might as well.
I don't know what he's
da,
doing.
Da, 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 da. Do, 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 do.
Good luck. Friday, though, end of an era. Retirement part two. Mike Francesa. Yes. There it is. But why we came out with Giannis Antetokounmpo, actually, or whatever Francesa called him, is I asked this question on Twitter, and I'm just curious around the room how you guys would vote. Over under Giannis MVPs for his career, 2.5. He won one last year.
We talked about this off the air earlier, and I took the over.
Okay. Shep, what would you say?
I would answer your question by asking you a question instead. Who wins more MVPs in their profession, Giannis or your guy, Patrick Mahomes?
That is an entirely different topic than... Yeah. I would...
I like your style, Chef.
Welcome
Giannis
back.
V.
Welcome
Mahomes back, in true Danny Parkin style.
I like that. I like that a lot. So the most for the NFL is 5, and then there's 3 guys with 3 and no one with 4, right? Jim Brown, Favre... And Brady have 3 and Peyton has 5. Yeah.
It's hard to win an MVP, but because he has one, Giannis, I'm talking about now.
And Mahomes.
I'll keep it to your question for the time
one
being
at a time.
When I'm addressing you.
Yeah.
And I think he can get 2 more.
We're watching Babe Ruth. You being Babe Ruth.
There's more guys with 3+ MVPs in basketball than there are in football, so I'll say Giannis. I would say that both get to 3, though. I think both get to at least 3 with Mahomes and Giannis. But I was thinking about it with Giannis because so many people, when I said it at 2.5 on Twitter, came back at me like that was ridiculously low. That was such an obvious, terrible line to set it at. Here is the entire list of NBA players that have gotten to 3 or more MVPs in the NBA.
Oh, you didn't ask me if I was going to go over or under.
Sorry, his question threw me.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question now based off of Chef's question. What should we have for dinner tonight? Because we're sick of turkey.
Perfect. Go with brisket. I think brisket works.
He can't get good brisket in the city, he tells me.
That's too bad.
You can in one place.
Okay.
Oh, you got a place now?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
Not going to give many mentions on air, though.
not going to get a comp meal from them.
All right, screw this sport. So, Kareem, Wilt, Russell, Moses, Bird, Magic, Jordan, LeBron. That's the list. Duncan never did it. Kobe didn't do it. Shaq didn't. Kobe only had 1 MVP. Duncan didn't do it. Barkley didn't do it. DeCaf Metcalf didn't do it.
That'll do it.
So all of us picked, including Tanny and his turkey, picked Giannis to join a list of 8 of the greatest basketball players of all time. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it is.
You say, all right, that's my only point. That if people think he's getting 3 MVPs, that's what it is. Same thing with Mahomes. Would you say that he gets over under 2.5 MVPs?
I'd go over.
You'd go over. I would too. You won't get it this year.
No, that one's already been won.
I don't think it's been won.
Yeah, it has. Lamar Jackson's your MVP.
There's a lot of time left. A lot of time left in the season. I think he's the clear favorite, and he'd be my MVP vote if it ended today. But I think Russell Wilson is close enough to it that he can get there.
You know, and even though they put a lot of points up last night, he didn't really help his chances last night. He didn't play a great game. I thought which they didn't need him to, because they'll get ugly. I like that about Pete Carroll's Seahawks. They'll get in the mud with you. They'll pound your ass. I don't like physical football.
I'll ask you the question that you asked Tom Thayer. As of today, who's your Super Bowl team?
I like Baltimore and New Orleans.
Baltimore and New Orleans. Yeah, it's probably my answer, too. It's either them or Baltimore and San Francisco. I think the NFC is much tougher than the AFC right now.
I gave up on my Bears pick a few weeks ago.
Just a few weeks ago? Yeah, I was quick to that party. I got off it about a month ago. I did bet the Chiefs a couple weeks ago, though, for the just they're coming back. They're getting healthy. I don't think anyone will want to play them, and I don't think it's going to be the Patriots. I think they are among the weakest of the 10-win teams.
That gets said fairly regularly around this time of the year.
It sure does. It sure does. And eventually, Mac, I'm going to be right. This segment brought to you by Northwestern Hoops. Join Northwestern basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, Purdue, and more. Season and single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team on sale now at NUSports.com. Who do we have today?
Tom Thayer visited with us. Hope Hub is feeling a little bit better. It didn't sound like he was he's hurting, so Hope Hub is better tomorrow.
You just opened up a bag of snakes that you can't close.
Right. You're right.
You're right. That's right. Tomorrow, Bulldog Campbell joins us at 4.
Michael Irvin on the show at 3:30.
Michael Irvin is on. Yeah.
3:30, Michael Irvin joins the show ahead of Bears and Cowboys. Come see us at Tavern in the Green in Evergreen Park before the Bears pregame show. We'll be there Thursday from 2 to 6 with Miller Lite, leading you up to Nick Shepkowski, who's hosting pre and post, with Olin Krutz and Pat Manley. So if you're in Evergreen Park or the surrounding areas, Tavern in the Green starting at 2 with Miller Lite on Thursday. Nick Shepkowski is our executive producer. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we do each and every day. And tune in tomorrow at 5. We go through the old Score audio vault. This is McNeil and Parkins on The Score.
Hey, look. I got some guys to beat and some cake to eat. Take care.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.